Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. We are 3 weeks away from Coastal Thursday night, August the 29th. So it's, like we said last episode, it's getting closer. It's starting to feel real. You know, talking season is about to be over and about to start playing football. So couldn't be more excited about where the team sits right now, and we'll see what the season holds. Brooks, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Like you said, there will be Jack State football this month. Talking season's over. Fall camp is in full swing, so it's getting real. It's getting here, and it's, you know, what we've been waiting on all since the end of last season. Before New Year's at the New Orleans Bowl, it's finally back here again, and I'm excited about it. We got a lot going on. There's a lot come out this last couple weeks. We got a lot to talk about. We got some new uniforms I want to touch on. Got a couple notes on fall camp. The guys got to see the new field house for the first time, the new locker room and all the amenities there. And then to close out this episode, we're going to give our full deep dive into our schedule. What we think, what we expect to do, how we think we're going to finish in the conference. So got a lot going on. If you want to, Drew, where you want to start for this one?
Well, real quick, I know, you know, we can talk about the new uniforms and that kind of thing, but it's hard to show them to you on a podcast. So, you know, you guys that haven't seen it, they are on our Twitter. Obviously, they're on the football team's Twitter also. I'm sure you guys have all seen them by now. So I don't spend too much time talking about them. They are a very welcome change for, I believe, me and Brooks, as far as they've got a little more character than what the uniforms last year had, especially the jerseys being really bland last year. A little bit of design on the sleeves, and then obviously the big news was having the black uniform, the black jersey, black pants with the white helmet with the black AKC logo on the side. I think is going to look really good under the lights. I assume they'll wear those a time or two this year, especially for you know, your Wednesday night Conference USA madness that seems to happen. You'll probably see those uniforms make an appearance at least one of those weeks. I'm going to call them the main helmet, the red with the Jack State, gets a new stripe down the middle, more of a old school stripe. You saw Jack State wear that particular helmet stripe when they wore the, I call them the LSU helmets, but the 05 to 2013, somewhere along in there. Same stripe that they had on those helmets. So I think that's a good addition also. But much more character than the uniforms last year. They look like they don't like a practice jersey anymore, like the ones last year kind of looked like, being so bland. So certainly all that's welcome for me. The black's really cool. It doesn't, for me, I know people on Twitter seem to really love it. Doesn't move me that much. It's not my favorite thing they've ever worn, but it's a nice addition to have to get that option. Of course, if you saw the all white uniforms that looks just like the ones they wore last year with that new sleeve design also. So uniforms look nice. Welcome addition. Brooks, what do you think about them?
First of all, I would like us to take credit for this. considering our two episodes ago was our fixing the uniforms episode, and lo and behold, what do you know? It just so happens to, hey, we've got some prominent followers, some coaches and players following us, and lo and behold, 4 weeks later, we've got new uniforms. So we'll pat ourselves on the back for that one. Jack State, you can give us our credit whenever time fits best. Now, I think these look really good. Like you said, these aren't my all-time favorite uniforms that we've worn, but like we said on that episode, I just something to kind of spruce it up, something to make it stand out a little more, rather than just be, like you said, look like practice jerseys. I really like the red and white the red and white shoulder stripe on all of them. Looks really good. Just, it's a nice touch. going back to, I don't remember the last time we had just basic block numbers, probably 2014, 2013, started the Gross era, probably around there. And then, but they look clean. They're not too flashy. They're a much needed improvement on the uniforms that we've had for the last 2 years. I really like the white pants with the AKC logo on it too. So even if we have a, if we have a game or two where, well, that'll be our, I would assume that'll be our primary home. Says the red helmet, the white jersey, and the white, or red helmet, red jersey, white pants again. So that logo still getting represented on the uniform, pretty much in any set that we have. And then the black jerseys. Is it one of our school colors? No, not traditionally, but we've kind of adopted it as one. Everyone from volleyball to soccer to baseball all wear a black jersey of some sort. So. It's nice to see it back in the football lineup too. I mentioned before we did wear a black jersey towards the end of Coach Crow's tenure. So we'll say 2011, 2012. So it's been well over 10 years now since we've had a black jersey. It's nice to see it back in the lineup. You know, I like it. I think it looks clean. I like the black pants. The black AKC on the helmet looks really good, so I like it. I said I'm a traditionalist when it comes to uniforms, but you know I think this is a very nice touch. It's different. We haven't had a black jersey in a long time, and we certainly haven't had one that looks like this. So, but I like them. They're much needed. So excited to see those. Rolling on the field and which games they're going to be. Moving on now, I'm going to do just kind of touch on the field house real quick. Players got to see their new home this past week, and it looks, if you hadn't seen the pictures on Instagram and Twitter and everything, it looks really good. Brand new leather seats with TV screens for the showing their names and pictures above the lockers. Big long white hallway that says Jack State Football looks really good with a nice little lighting package. A much needed updated player lounge. A nice team meeting room with red leather seats. Everything about it is, and that's just from what we've seen. There's some more stuff in there like like a Hall of Fame. There's a Hall of Fame, of course, coaches' offices. There's supposed to be a weight room in there. I'm going to assume that's still there. It looks really good. What do you think about it, Drew?
Yeah, everything you said. It looks really really nice. It looks like a Division I field house. You know, I mean,
oh yeah,
we've said it. 3 or 4 different times, you know, we're competing at a different level than what we used to. You have to start acting like that. And the university's done a very, very good job of that as far as renovating the field house and renovating the away side of the stadium. And you know, Rich Rod's contract extension, all of that goes into competing at this level and doing it the right way. And the field house looks amazing. You know, recruiting in this conference, I'm not going to poke fun at Conference USA or poke fun at the teams, but there are some teams who Jack State could have out-recruited without a new field house, and there might be some teams that could have out-recruited without a field house altogether. As silly as that sounds, this should really benefit that side of the football program as far as how to out-recruit your conference, aside from maybe Liberty, who seems to be one step ahead of everybody else. This should really, really benefit that side of the program and helping get a different caliber of athlete to Jack State. And we saw that this year with, you know, some of the guys we got brought in through the portal and out of high school. But, you know, you should just get a better and better caliber of recruit the more you add to your program and that kind of thing. And this was a huge step in that direction for me. So really excited about the Fieldhouse. It looks really good. Like Brooke said, for those who haven't seen the videos on Instagram and or Twitter, please go check it out. It looks really, really nice. I know Marco Baker had a whole movie just about videoed, and the football team put his film on. So he's got really good videos of it. It just looks really good. So Brooks, you'll tell us a little about fall camp before we move on to the schedule preview, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So, fall camp opened up last week. They definitely kind of eased into it, I think, or kind of took it day by day with, how they approached the intensity of the practices. Started off in just jersey and helmets, and then they went shells, and now last Friday and start of this week they were in full pads, so they are full go in practice. From what I've read and what it sounds like, we're off to a really good start. Rich Rod said it was better organizationally. Guys were paying attention and getting on the field better. Overall, I thought we got better, and we were better than the last pad of practice. And something he touched on here, too, I thought makes me feel really good, but also I didn't realize we had this many new kids. After seven practices, Rich Rod highlighted the improvements of 60 newcomers. He says, I think they've adapted really well. Most have been here all summer. So that really helps. So that's really comforting to know. You know, all the transfers, all the incoming freshmen have really adapted well. Like you said, you know, it really helps that they got here pretty early in the summer, even though they may not have been on the field going, you know, full go practice. Still working with the coaches. Go ahead and getting a good idea of, you know, our style of play on offense and defense, how we like to do things, go ahead and, you know, getting a head start on understanding everything. And of course all the transfers too, guys like, running back, defensive back, everywhere, all the holes that we've been able to fill. So it sounds like things are really positive, coming out of fall camp. The start off, we still got 3 weeks left, but, To me, it's really comforting to know Rich Rod likes what he sees, and I think if we can keep building off this, you know, I think it's going to be pretty indicative that we should come out firing that first Coastal game. So,
yeah, from what I've seen with fall camp, and again, you've kind of paid a lot more attention to that stuff than I've been able to. At least as of right now, the quarterback battle seems to, I know we said after the J-Day game, it's a two-horse race. Well, that's because we just didn't see Tyler Huff on the field. So, you know, that quarterback battle may be back to being a three-horse race more so than we thought originally. Tyler Huff seems to be wearing number 6. He's been on a couple of the pictures or videos teams have posted, so I know that's the big question for right now is who's going to play quarterback. And, you know, Zion Turner and Logan Spillers seemed to be the leading two as far as the J-Day game goes. But I think as we go further and further into spring and now summer camp, that J-Day game didn't mean anything to anybody as far as playing time, vice, starting,
yeah,
roles and that kind of thing. I think we said during the episode that we wrapped up the J-Day game that, you know, we're not sure we learned a whole lot. I think we learned less than we thought we did, which is already not a whole lot. So the quarterback battle, like we've said before, we're going to know who's going to start when he walks on the field for the first series against Coastal. We've said whether that be Zion Turner or Logan Smothers, I think you can throw Tyler Huff back in that mix as a pretty much an equal share of the playing time for right now. So anyway, moving on, we've got quite a lengthy schedule preview. We'll try to keep this as concise as possible, but we've got a little bit about each team. We got a little bit of a prediction for each game that I'm sure will turn out to be just completely wrong one way or the other. But
Probably.
We've done a little bit of research, tried to get this as accurate as possible. But, of course, hosting Coastal, August 29th, Thursday night, home opener. Last year, Coastal beat us 30-16 in Carolina. Coastal is not going to have the same caliber of team they had last year due to mainly Grayson McCall's departure at quarterback. They now have Ethan Vasco and a Michigan State transfer named Noah Kim competing for that spot. Pretty good defense last year, gave up 23.8 points a game. They did struggle to get pressure on quarterbacks, only had 19 sacks all year long. Not that sitting back in the pocket and throwing the ball is a big part of Rich Rod's offense, but that is one thing that Coastal struggled with, was getting to the quarterback. But overall, Coastal not going to be nearly as talented as they were last year. I believe they are picked to finish either third or fourth in their side of the Sun Belt. And the Sun Belt, in case you guys didn't know, is the last conference in college football that still has divisions. So they are in the Sun Belt East, which happens to be the same division as James Madison and App State. So that is a loaded side of the Sun Belt there with those three schools on the same side. But they're picked to finish third or fourth, depending on which article you read. Some of the articles have Marshall finishing above them, some of them don't. But pretty clear consensus, they're not on the same level as App State or James Madison. And it should not be the same caliber of team Jack State had last year. Having them at home is certainly going to help. And I think we have Jack State winning 28-17 game one. Brooks, what are your Coastal thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a completely different game than last year. I think they're going to be pretty good. Even without Grayson McCall, Jamie Chadwell's built up a pretty solid program. Last year's game was mostly, like you said, they had pretty decent defense. Some others made a lot of mistakes, and so did Zion, but it was mostly thanks to Grayson McCall just tearing us up. He's a very talented quarterback. How Auburn didn't get him, I have no idea. I remember that was a big talk for a little while that he was going to go to Auburn, and then he came back, and then he backed out like a month before the season started. It was real soon to the start of the season. Played another year, and now he's at NC State, where I think he'll be very successful. But I think this is going to be a completely different Coastal offense, and I think we're going to come in much more experienced. Smothers is going to have a pretty good idea of what to expect on from their defense. That's assuming he comes out as the starter. I'm gonna go with he probably is, just because again he's played against Coastal before. He knows what to expect. On top of, he's the most experienced quarterback in our system on the roster, so I think he'll come out really know what to do, or know what he's getting into, know what to expect. Defense is gonna be a lot more. I don't know. I go back and forth on our defense, but I think they're going to be able to handle a new quarterback much better than they did Grayson McCall. So, yeah, I like the score that we've got predicted as 28-17. We're going to blow them out of the water or anything, but I think we take care of business. I like that 28-17.
Yeah, I do too. I think, like you said, it's going to be a different game than last year. Coastal has taken a small step back as far as, you know, their level of talent, and I think Jack State has gotten better. So yeah. I think that kind of leads you to, especially having them at home this year, is going to help also. So, all right, week two, September 7th, they go to Louisville, and this will be our first of our predictions. It's going to go the other way. We did not do the homer thing where we're going to go 12-0 in our predictions. We wanted to make this somewhat accurate as possible. Not that Jack State can't play with Louisville, but Louisville has really seemed to improve that roster over the last two or three years, and now they are legitimately in contention for the ACC this year, with Florida State seeming to take a step back also. But quarterback Tyler Shug, I believe is how we're going to pronounce that, is in his seventh year of eligibility. He was on Texas Tech's roster last year. He was at Oregon for a time before that. It seems to be that Louisville is really excited about his presence on that team, and he's going to be their starter. Louisville returned seven defensive starters, with a defense that was pretty good last year, so that defense for Louisville should be pretty tough. And then they add a running back named Penny Boone, who was the 2023 MAC Offensive Player of the Year last year. So, you know, you get a new quarterback, a new running back in that system, two guys that Louisville thinks they can certainly win with. And, you know, you've already got a defense that is probably the best in the ACC. So it's going to be a pretty tough task for Jack State to go to Louisville and go win that football game. We don't expect them to compete and be in it at the end. But this is not South Carolina from a year ago. It was a 4-win team and really struggled on defense. This is a more of a complete football team than they saw last year as far as the Power Five goes. So I believe we have Louisville 35 and Jack State 20. I expect it to be around a 2-touchdown game, but you know, early in the season, who knows? Anything can happen. It's college football. You've got 21, 22-year-old kids out there playing. You know, anything can go. So that's our prediction for now. And of course, when we get to that week, we'll have a lot more information for you. But Brooks, you have Louisville thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is pretty fair. I like you. I don't think this is going to be, you know, anything like the South Carolina game. I think we'll be able to, especially if they look anything like they did in that ACC championship game against Florida State, which that game in general was a rock fight. But I think we'll be able to play. Well, I think we'll be able to move the ball and score on them. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the talent gap. They're just it's what really ended up getting the speed against Auburn, Florida State the first time, other big schools that we've played in the past, Florida State in 2021. I think we'll be able to, you know, like you said, you know, it's second game of the year. They got a transfer quarterback. You know, they're not going to be bad by any means, but it's going to be a different looking Louisville. I think we'll be able to move the ball and score on them. Like you said, about three scores is about right. But at the end of the day, it's just a totally big difference in talent. Maybe we get lucky, but yeah, I think that's about right, about 35-20, somewhere in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Just a little bit of a talent gap for what Louisville has been able to build that roster into in recent years. All right, third game of the year, they go to Ypsilanti, Michigan, and play Eastern Michigan. Of course, Eastern Michigan traveled to Jacksonville last year. JSU blanked them 21-0, and this is just a team that Jack State's got to beat. I understand it's on the road. You got to go to Eastern Michigan and Ypsilanti and go play a team a long way from home. But you get them early in the year, it won't be -5 degrees at that time in Michigan. It'll be pretty nice weather, so I think that's on our side. But this is an Eastern Michigan team that is picked to finish the back half of the Mid-American Conference. You just have to beat the back half of the Mid-American Conference, and there's just no way around it. They return four offensive starters. Their defense allowed nearly 6 yards per play last year, and they only returned 5 of those starters. And I just think this is a team that Jack State should handle pretty easily. You know, last year they only put up 21 points. I believe that was Logan Smothers, his first start at quarterback, if I remember correctly. I think Zion played. Straley started the games up until that point, and then Logan played against Eastern. I believe that was the second game of the year last year. But again, this is a game that we have going Jack State's way, 37-10. I just think Jack State should be a good margin better than Eastern Michigan. You know, a team that's not returning a lot from last year, a defense that gave up a ton of yards per play. This is just a team that they should handle without issue, I think.
Yeah, I don't really see. Yes, it's on the road, but you know, no disrespect to Eastern Michigan and the fine people of What'd you say then? Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti.
Ypsilanti. And no disrespect to the fine people of Ypsilanti, but you know, this isn't like walking into the big house or Grand Denny or somewhere. I don't think that's going to play that much of a difference. And like you said too, it's earlier in the year. We're not going to be playing in snow or freezing temperature. Shouldn't anyways. So yeah, it was a low scoring game. Only gave up. It was a shutout, but we only scored three times on them. It was more of a, and one of those was we picked them off on like the 10 score the very next play. So it wasn't like a long drive score or anything. But I don't see any reason why we don't go up there and take care of business. Ain't a whole lot to talk about on this game. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think this is one that they show up, take care of business, come home, and get ready for the next week. Yeah. For those who are going to watch the game on TV and aren't going to travel to Ypsilanti, Michigan, their field is gray. You have been warned. It is as gray as it gets. So
keep the Tylenol bottle nearby.
Yes, there's that. beyond that, they get Southern Miss. Team, again, kind of like Eastern Michigan, struggled as of recently. They're picked to finish sixth in their side of the Sun Belt. Again, that's the only conference with divisions still. So that if you can equate that to 11th or 12th in that conference, whatever that ends up being. But under their current head coach, Will Hall, they are 13-24 in three seasons. The offense only put up 23 points a game last year. They only returned two of those starters. And the one bright spot the one big name transfer they were able to get was Tate Rodemaker. For those who remember, Florida State quarterback that played when Jordan Travis got hurt last year, Rodemaker took over. He is now at Southern Miss. He'll be their starter. Kind of like the offense, their defense allowed nearly 35 points a game, 7 yards per play, which is a huge number to allow per play. They pick up a new defensive coordinator, Clay Bignell, who was the DC at Eastern Illinois last year, an old OVC foe for Jack State. So we'll see if he can get that defense turned around. But again, kind of like Eastern Michigan, this is a game that they should have, especially being at home against Southern Miss, should really make this easier. We've got Jack State winning 38-13. And again, you know, you have to beat the back half of the MAC. You have to beat the back half of the Sun Belt. You know, these are Group of Five conferences. The back half of your Group of Five conferences should be teams that you are taking care of if you have any aspirations to go win 8-9 games a year. So, Brooks, you have your thoughts on Southern Miss, but it should be a pretty easy win, I would hope.
Yeah, the only just kind of touch on the only thing that really stands out about them is Tate Rodemaker. Two games he played in before he got hurt, before the SEC championship game or ACC championship game, finished up the game against UNA that Jordan Travis got hurt in, went 13-23, 217 yards, and then 12-25 for 134 before he got hurt in the Florida game. But ultimately, led them to both or led both won both those games. So he'll be bringing in some solid experience. The weapons that he's going to have around him are going to be completely different though, than what he had at FSU. As long as we can keep him contained, and kind of stay in his face, I don't think we'll have any problem, with Southern Miss either. Like you said, defense allowing 35 points a game and 7 yards of play, it will eat that up.
We will. Yep.
Doesn't matter who's at running back. Doesn't matter who's at quarterback. We'll have the horses to just eat up that defense, I think. So, yeah, 38-13. I was going to sign off. I'd be surprised if we give up 13. But yep. We'll see. We'll see what Rodemaker brings.
Yeah, that was kind of my holdout for Southern Miss's offense. You know, you're getting a a pretty good transfer quarterback for that school could make some difference in their offense. But, you know, a defense that was that bad a year ago, you'd think that, you know, they may make some improvements under a new defensive coordinator. But unless Clay Bignell is an all-time talent as a defensive coordinator, he's not going to have that defense tightened up by week four. So, all right. And then we'll spend a little bit of time here, but they go to Kennesaw. Rivalry news. That game will be played in Georgia. Of course, this is Kennesaw's first year in the FBS. They are picked to finish last in the conference. For those that like to look at last season to help kind of predict this season, you can look at the 3-6 record if you want to in that transition year. But this is going to be a better team than that, at least as far as talent goes. I don't think that a 3-6 record in a transition year really shows what that football team can be. Now, they've lost a little bit transferring from the FCS to the FBS. They didn't have a great portal cycle, from what I understand. But, you know, as far as rivalry game and having to go on the road to play Kennesaw, this is one that you got to walk off the bus, do your job, and really play hard, because you don't want to be surprised by a scrappy Kennesaw State team and leave Kennesaw with a loss. I know, Brooks, you have a lot for this one, but this is one that I think we need to show up, take care of. This is a team you would think you would handle pretty easily, but, you know, rivalry games are weird sometimes.
Yeah, and they're going to be out for blood against us. Like you said, this is I don't think this last year is very indicative of what we're going to see this year. Kennesaw historically has been a top-notch FCS program, regularly in the top 10, regularly getting about quarterfinals of the quarterfinals of the playoffs. I don't know how true, just kind of per my source, guy who lives in Kennesaw and was around the program a good little bit. He really, really kept up with Kennesaw football. I was told that their deal last year was, I think they just they were looking ahead to moving up, just trying to get through that last year in FCS. I don't think they were very worried about what their final record was going to be. Just trying to get through with as little bit of injuries as possible. Try to get some younger guys some pretty good experience. How true that is, I don't know. I'm not a Kennesaw beat reporter. That's just kind of what I've heard. And part of me believes it, because, like I said, last year I don't think is very indicative at all of what the potential that Kennesaw has. Are they going to go straight right back to what they were, you know, 3 or 4 years ago? Like I said, being a regular occupant of top 10 in FCS, and, you know, only losing a couple games a year. I don't not at all. I think it's going to take them a little time to transition. But again, this is a rivalry. When it comes to our game specifically, this has turned into a pretty good little rivalry, and they're going to be out for blood after we pretty much walked off against them last time they came to our place. And last time we went up there, it was a dragging. So, you know, they know how to beat us. They know what this rivalry has turned into. You know, I think they're gonna throw everything they got at us. But I think at the end of the day, we are gonna be more talented. For once, I think we're gonna have every advantage on them. While they're still, again, transitioning to a completely different level of football. But don't. I wouldn't sleep on them. I wouldn't. If I was Rich Rodden Company, I would not walk into Kennesaw, you know, nonchalantly. And, you know, we get up, you know, 17-3 or something, and then look up, and it's, you know, 20, and then turn around, it's 20-17. because it could very easily turn into that. So,
yeah, and
we'll see.
Yeah, and the good news is, because, you know, Kennesaw, as far as our schedule goes, as weird as this sounds, might be the team we know the least about, because they had such a strange year last year, 3-6 in their transition. Yeah. At least you get 4 games to kind of learn what they have. You know, they're going to have 4 weeks before they play us, and we'll kind of learn what they're about before that. Moving on, we have New Mexico State. And I want to talk a little bit here, about what's happened to that program over the offseason, because nothing good has happened. So, of course, New Mexico State last year beat Jack State 20-17 in New Mexico. That was a game Jack State should have had, and they kind of threw it away late, playing some bad defense. But New Mexico State finished 5th in the conference, which I think is pretty nice for what has happened to them in the offseason. So, Jerry Kill, for those who don't know, Jerry Kill has been their coach over the last 2 seasons, and they have been the best school record in the last over a 2-season span since 1960 under Jerry Kill. New Mexico State is a historically hard place to win at, and Jerry Kill clearly found a way to do so, having a great 2 seasons. And he is now at Vandy doing an off-field role, and from what I understand, there is some non-football reasons for that. Jerry Kill was at Minnesota for a time, had them changing the right direction and had to leave due to medical reasons. I don't think this is on the same level as that. I think there was some issues with Mexico State athletic officials and Jerry Kill, disagreement about things, and he kind of just left the program, which is, you know, kind of tough to see for a school that has been really historically bad, finally getting a guy in the door that knows how to win and had a good 2-season run, and now he's off at Vandy being a, you know, having an off-field role there. They did hire a former New Mexico State football player, Tony Sanchez, as head coach. He was 20-40 in 4 seasons as head coach of UNLV, so he does have some experience, although it's not real, 20-40 does not breathe a lot of excitement into your program, I don't think. And they lost, after Jerry Kill left, they lost a ton of pieces, mainly quarterback Diego Pava, who we saw play against Jack State, looked really good, and he had a lot of good games last year. He entered the portal, and it just seems like they have been decimated by the transfer portal and losing a really good head coach. So we've got Jack State winning 48-13. I think that's pretty fair from where this Aggie team stands right now. Brooks, you can give us your thoughts, but just a really strange offseason for them.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, if you're even from the outside looking in, you know, like from our standpoint, but especially if you're a New Mexico State fan or alumni, you know, it's got to be frustrating that, you know, you finally get somebody like Jerry Kill in and he, you know, turns your program around. They made the conference championship last year in his second season. And, you know, finally turn things around. And then, like you said, you know, whatever it was that happened that led to him leaving and having to, now they're having to completely start over again after, you know, like you said, a program that's not historically known for being very good. Just going to come out and say it. But, you know, at the very least, they got a former player who, you know, knows the program, know what's expected, and, you know, has seen in the last couple of years that this can be a pretty decent football program. But, you know, it's going to be complete, like you said, lost a lot of key players, especially the quarterback. It's got to be a completely different. This is another one. It's going to be a completely different game than last year. We should have beat them at their place last year. I believe a couple field goals didn't go our way, and just we had a lot of bad balls, a lot of just nothing went our way hardly that game. This game's going to be completely different than what it was last year. It's at our place. We're going to be much better. They're taking a huge step back in just about every element of their program. So, yeah, I like I don't know that it'll quite be this bad, 48-13, but I like it to be us well over 30 points and them well under Yeah, I think that's about right. Maybe in like the 35-14, somewhere in that area.
Cool. All right, moving on. Middle Tennessee State, we get them at home this year. It's a game last year. Jack State won 45-30, and they have a new head coach, and it is Derek Mason. For those who remember Derek Mason for his Vanderbilt days, kind of seems like Vanderbilt should have kept him around a little bit longer because they have not looked nearly as good under, you know, their new head coaches as what Derek Mason was able to accomplish there. So, very defensive-minded head coach for Middle Tennessee State, which is what they need. They only have two returning starters to the defense. Their offense, they return quarterback Nick Fadiato, who was the conference's leading offensive player in yards per game, running and throwing there. He's a good dual-threat quarterback. But this is another game that I'm, A, very glad it's at home, and B, the week before Liberty could be a game that spells a little bit of trouble. We've got Jack State winning 33-27. I think Middle Tennessee State is going to be an improved football team under Derek Mason, especially defensively, even though they only returned those two starters. But this is a game where Middle Tennessee State could really surprise people in this conference. They're picked to finish fourth, and they are a little bit of a dark horse to maybe challenge Western or Jack State as far as who might get to go play Liberty, assuming they have the year that we all expect them to have. So Middle Tennessee State's going to be a good football team. Brooks, what are your thoughts?
Excuse me. Yeah, like you said, this definitely could be a trap game. They had us on the ropes for about They had us on the ropes for about three quarters of the game last year. More than capable of beating us. I think that was one that eventually, you know, talent and, you know, I think we, I'm not going to say talent, but we found all the holes and we found all the gaps. We did everything right to be able to just finally run away with it. We got the momentum late in the second half and was just, you know, able to run away with it. I think by this time you talk about Derek Mason's defensive background helping this young defense. I think by this point in the season, whoever our starter is, or you know, whoever's taking snaps for us, they're going to be more than comfortable in our system. I think they're going to be more than comfortable facing young defense. I'm not as stressed about this game as I am the Western Kentucky game, but the offense and Nick Fadiato, or Fadiato, however you pronounce his name, they're, you know, very familiar with us and coming in knowing what to expect from our defense, and I think that's going to really play to their advantage. But it's at home. Like I said, we're by this point, we should only have one loss under our belt. I think we're going to be more than comfortable. Quarterback's offense is going to be more than comfortable playing together. I'm not as stressed about this game, but I think we'll be all right. But another one, kind of like Kennesaw, we can't take this game nonchalantly. Just, we can get beat.
I agree. Especially talking about, you know, a trap game there for Middle Tennessee State. You know, the next week they go to Lynchburg and play Liberty. So, you know, you can't look ahead to what you're going to be your most important game. I'm not going to say that Liberty's the toughest game since Louisville's on the schedule, but as far as in conference and that kind of thing, this is their most important game, at least going into the start of the season, going to Lynchburg to play Liberty. Of course, Liberty came to Jack State and kind of took care of us last year, 31-13, in a game that, you know, you get two quarterbacks get hurt and it's hard to win. So Liberty, of course, is your conference favorite. They return a good amount of what was a really good team last year. Of course, getting the New Year's Six bowl game bid against Oregon. And they would have been the team in the playoff from your group of five last year. So this is a really good Liberty team. Caden Salters returns a quarterback after he entered the portal, then didn't enter the portal, then entered the portal, and now he's back at Liberty. He's going to stay for the full year. So, again, Jack State has improved. We all believe that. I would assume Liberty has also improved returning that many starters. I think Jack State will play better last year if you don't get your starting quarterback hurt. That game may go a different way to begin with. But for right now, as it stands, we have Liberty 31 and Jack State 24. I think Jack State gets off the bus there and kind of, chip on your shoulder, thinking that we didn't get to give Liberty your best, their best shot last year with a quarterback injury and that kind of thing, especially having to hear, media day that Liberty's, by far and away the best team in this conference. I think it's a lot closer between Liberty, Western Kentucky, and Jack State than what people think. I think the growing consensus is that Liberty is a step or two above Jack State and Western Kentucky, and I'm just not sure that's the case. They are certainly a little bit better, a little bit more talented as far as some of the players they have on field right now, but anything can happen. I do think Liberty is a little bit of a better team overall, but I think you get off the bus, they have a chip on your shoulder, and give it, give it the best shot you can.
Yeah, I think, like you said, we're going to come into this game knowing that who the team we put on the field or the way that game unfolded last year was not very indicative of who we actually were. You have your top two quarterbacks get hurt. It doesn't matter who's playing. It you're going to struggle. But I think we'll perform a lot better. It's going to be tough. It's going to be on the road under the lights. But I think we'll play better. Again, I think this is just in general going to be a better team than last year, especially on offense. But Liberty is just they're probably a couple years ahead of us. In terms of where their program is in comparison to the types of players they're getting, the, of course, national media coverage, the expectations. I think they're still ahead of us right now in about every department. I think we play close with them, but I think they edge us out on this one. I think 31-24, maybe even 31-21 is a pretty accurate score. Caden Salters is an unbelievable athlete. There was a lot of talk about him leaving early last year to go to try the NFL, but he's coming back, and from a lot of podcasts and articles and stuff that I've been catching up on, Liberty is not, of course, predicted to win the conference, but also to get that 12th spot in the playoff. So nothing would make me happier than to keep from doing that. But I think at least this first game, if there's a second game, we'll see. But at least this first game, they get us.
Yep, I agree. All right, beyond that, we go to Louisiana Tech. I believe that game is in Ruston, Louisiana. And we're going to kind of gloss over this one pretty quickly. Louisiana Tech is not a good football team right now. They are picked to finish seventh in the conference, which I think is maybe even a little generous as far as, they are 6-18 over the last two seasons under their current head coach. They do have a new defensive coordinator who's going to try to help fix a defense that allowed 230 yards on the ground per game last year. If you're allowing that much on the ground, a team like Jack State's going to come in and handle business. And last year they did. They won 56-17. That game was at home. They do go to Louisiana Tech this year. We have Jack State winning 40-17. I just think this is a game that, coming off of a game in Lynchburg, the team's going to be excited to get back on the football field if they win or lose that Liberty game. And I just don't think Louisiana Tech's going to put up much of a fight.
Nah, this is another one, you know, kind of like the Eastern Michigan game. I don't think playing on the road is going to make much of a difference. Not really a whole lot to kind of cover about it or to discuss about this one. I think run game is going to be very similar to last year. I think we're going to tear them up. Yeah. Just coming out being blatant. Not a whole lot that stresses me out about this game. Really this one or the next one.
Yeah, and like I said, yeah, the next one should be a lot of the same tune there against FIU. They host Florida International this year. They won last year 41-16 on the road, getting a win that big. Again, FIU picked to finish behind Louisiana Tech. They went 4-8 last year. They return 11 starters. That's kind of why I think Louisiana Tech's going to be in a little bit of a rougher spot than FIU. FIU does return a few starters at least. They did lose a big star wide receiver named Chris Mitchell to Notre Dame, so that's a big loss for Florida National. We have Jack State winning 38-14, and again, like you said, should be a game that they take care of. Pretty blunt.
Yeah, at home, second to last home game of the year. Not a lot that. You know, Chris Mitchell was the one thing that they really had going for him, and you know, to lose him, I don't think they're going to be just god awful, but to lose him, your one offensive weapon, or your one big offensive weapon, it's just a dagger, and I think we take care of business at home.
I agree, and then finish out the year with two pretty tough games to close the season out. So they host Sam Houston. Of course, Jack State won 35-28 in overtime last year in Texas. Sam Houston picked to finish tied for fifth in the conference. Sam Houston lost 6-1 score games last year. They won three games overall, and they of their nine losses, six were by one possession or less. This was not a three-win football team last year. This was a better team than that. The record did not show how good they were. And I think, you know, with West Kentucky on the last of the season, having Sam Houston right before that, this is another game to where you cannot look ahead. Sam Houston's going to be a pretty good football team this year. We have Jack State winning at home 27-24. Sam Houston got a pretty good defense returning for them. This is a game that they need to really, you know, be careful with, because Sam Houston can quite easily win this football game as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, this is my big trap game. Should have beat us last year, and don't let that what they end up going. Don't let that 3-9 fool you. They only lost five games last year by a score or less, or by one score. Excuse me, they went 5-4 last year. No, I'm looking at the wrong schedule. Goodness. Yeah, 3-9. Yeah, don't let that 3-9 score you, fool you. Lost five games by score. And on top of that, BYU on the ropes only lost 14 to nothing. Only lost to Air Force 13-3. And there was a couple others. They didn't play bad against New Mexico State. Lost that game 27-13. Now they had some close wins. You know, with Kennesaw, only beat Kennesaw by three, and only beat Middle Tennessee by three. But you know, this is a very historically very good football program. You know, they know how to play winning football. Yes, it was at the FCS level, but they won a national championship. What did that? And you know, less than 5 years ago in 2020, and played for two more back in the start of the North Dakota State dynasty. So you know, this is not, you know, a lot of people have Sam Houston as, you know, one of the lesser teams in college football as a whole, but you know, we've been back and forth with them for years now. Jack State is very familiar with Sam Houston and their game. We know what they're capable of, and we know that, you know, Sam Houston is, I think, is going to be much improved this year. They're going to come into Jacksonville knowing that they should have won the game last year, knowing that they've won here before, at the FCS level. So, you know, we cannot overlook Sam Houston. Get to looking at that. It's going to be a very, very important game, to close out the season against Western Kentucky, but we can't be looking ahead to that game knowing that we have a chance to, you know, potentially play for, you know, a conference championship and so forth. I think 27-24, maybe even 27-21, it's a very, very strong possibility.
Absolutely. All right, and then last week of the year, they go to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and play the Hilltoppers. And this one's going to be tough here. West Kentucky's picked to finish second in the conference, one spot ahead of us. And this game could very well decide who plays Liberty in the championship game. So we kind of have at the bottom here that this is a toss-up 50-50 game. I think the one thing that works in favor for Jack State is that TJ Finley is now playing quarterback for Western Kentucky. Those that saw him play at Auburn, he was at LSU for a very short time, but got some playing time at Auburn. Never been a guy that has impressed me. I know those Auburn teams he played for, he didn't have a whole lot of help around him. But that Western offense last year was really electric, and Jack was able to kind of shut them down. They won 20-17 with a big walk-off field goal. But I don't think the Western offense will be as potent as it was last year under TJ Finley. Not a knock on him. Yeah, well, maybe it is. I just don't believe in him in that system. That's a team that throws the ball a ton, and we just haven't seen TJ Finley throw the ball a ton. So Western as a whole is probably just as, if not more talented than Jack State. But, you know, if you kind of look at quarterback play and how good that offense was at times for Western last year, that offense may take a step back under TJ Finley. I think, you know, being on the road late in the season, it gets really cold in the western part of Kentucky, for those that don't know. I think that kind of plays into Western's hands. But this is a game that I could see quite easily going either way. We don't even have a score prediction for this game, just because we went back and forth for so long. But Brooks, your thoughts on the Hilltoppers? It's going to be this is a big one here.
Yeah, this is it. You know, like I mentioned before, this is, I think it's more than likely going to decide who goes to the Conference USA championship game again. More than likely going to Liberty again, barring any other upsets against the Flames. But TJ Finley being the one thing that really stands out. He did not have the benefit of cards were stacked against him playing at Auburn, getting caught up in the middle of the Brian Harsin fiasco, and just not having a whole lot of talent around him. If I'm correct, I don't think he had a bad year at Texas State last year. But he's got a lot of experience under his belt. He's going to have some good weapons. But like you said, it's an offense that throws the ball a ton. Whereas he probably do really good in our spread option offense. As much as he likes to run, he's built like a you know, pretty about like a tight end or a pretty swole wide receiver. But their defense is going to be pretty stout, only holding us to 20 points or 17 for a good bit of the game, till the walk off field goal. I flip a coin, like you said. This game could go either way. I think we're going to have the talent to, you know, it's going to be very similar to last year. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a dogfight. We're going to have the talent, but so are they. And I'm not as worried about the cold. It gets cold in the hills of Kentucky. Don't get me wrong, but I think by the it, you know, we'll be pretty adjusted, especially the last two home games that we have. It's going to be pretty cold come into November or come, yeah, middle into November in Jacksonville. I think we'll be fairly prepared on that end. It could come down to anything. It could come down to last possession. It could come down to turnover. It could come down to a multitude of things. Time, obviously, time, no, not a time of the clock, but clock, it could come down to anything in this game. I want to give us the benefit of the doubt, knowing that, you know, but I don't know. I hadn't made my mind up yet on this game.
Yeah, I agree. It's the toughest one to predict as far as being so far late in the year and Western, you know, having the athletes to compete and win this conference. And then, you know, you take out a really good quarterback they had last year who helped carry the offense, to replace them with a quarterback who, like you said, we've seen play well at times. We've seen, you know, looks kind of lost at times, and he's kind of in a system that doesn't fit what he's done at the college level for right now. Anyway, so that's a quick take on all 12 games. If we kind of were to put a number on it for you, we think, you know, a floor of 7-5 is the lowest that it would be, and that would assume a, you know, you lose to maybe Sam Houston or Middle Tennessee State, and then of course you drop your Louisville, Liberty, and Western games there. And then, you know, the ceiling, I think, is 10-2. I think, you know, you take care of business against everyone who's not Louisville and Liberty, and you're 10-2, and you get to go take another shot at Liberty for a conference title. And I think that's kind of where the ceiling is. That's where the expectation, that's where the focus should be is, you know, there's 10 games on this schedule that they have a better than average shot of winning. And there's two games that are going to be really tough. So I think you finish 10-2 there if you play your best football. And I think, you know, obviously if you have a floor of 7-5 and a ceiling of 10-2, that puts you in the 8-4, 9-3, you know, record, which is where they were last year. But this is a better schedule than last year's schedule, at least on paper right now it is. You know, there's no FCS game on here. Aside from Coastal taking a step back, you know, Louisville's a big step up from South Carolina. Sam Houston's gotten better. Middle Tennessee State's gotten better. You still get your, you know, what we think are going to be easier wins against Eastern Michigan and Southern Miss and that kind of thing. But I think this is a better schedule than what they played last year. Sam Houston, you know, should really be a good competitor at this level. You know, I think Jack State's gotten better. I think this conference has gotten better. And I think you're going to get a lot more midweek madness and close games just like we had last year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is going to be a much better team than last year. I think the way the schedule turns out is going to be very similar. There was, you know, we ended up 8-4, but we were two games away. We were, you know, a missed field goal away and a scoop and score at South Carolina, or the missed field goal at New Mexico State and a scoop and score at South Carolina from going 10-2. And, you know, playing for a championship.
That was a pick six at South Carolina.
I thought Zion got sacked and fumbled.
And they threw a pick six.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah, I remember. I remember now. Anyways, from being 10-2, probably couldn't play for a conference because of the transition rules, but nonetheless, you know, 10-2 in our first year. But we were also, you know, a close game away, or overtime away from losing to Sam Houston. That came down to literally the last drive of regulation, and it came down to a walk-off field goal against Western Kentucky. So, you know, we were this and that away from going 10-2, and we were this and that away from going 6-6 as well. So, I think this is gonna. I think that we're gonna have a little bit I think we're going to be a lot more well-rounded than last year. I think we're going to I think we should be able to have some more, you know, similar to the Sam Houston and the Western Kentucky. Some of those games go our way. Overall, I think 9-3 is I think that's more than a fair prediction. Where the two losses come from, it could be anywhere, and it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the conference unfolds. Yeah, we could be 7-2 and or 6-2 in the conference, but where are those two losses going to come from, and what's everybody else going to do? Is Western Kentucky going to, you know, be able to hold on throughout the rest of the season and getting that, or are they going to end up with three losses, or is it going to come down to tiebreakers and we still get in the game against Liberty, you know? So, or does Middle Tennessee go on a run? I think this conference is going to be really interesting this year. I think it's going to be improved. I think it's still going to be top heavy, but I think overall it's going to be. There's going to be more contenders. I think us, MTSU, Western Kentucky, and Liberty, and don't sleep on Sam Houston. I really like Sam Houston this year. But I think 9-3 is more than fair. I like that, and I'd be more than happy with 9-3 in year two in Conference USA. Whether that lands us in a championship game spot or not, we'll have to see how it unfolds. But I think we ought to get a pretty solid bowl. Back in New Orleans or somewhere new, we'll see. But.
Yep, I agree.
What do you think of the bowl situation?
Yeah, I think like you said before, the schedule it lends itself to work out as if it did, you know, as it did last year. And real quick, we talked about everyone in the conference except for UTEP. There being 10 teams in the conference, and Conference USA allows you to schedule 4 out of conference games. So if you do the math there, there's one team every year you're not playing, and this year it happens to be UTEP. They are not a I don't believe anyway they're going to be a contender for that conference championship spot. So I don't have a lot written for the Miners. That was, of course, Jack State's very first FBS win, if you guys remember Jeremiah Harris's big interception at home against UTEP. So just real quick, wanted to just run a highlight over those guys. But, yeah, as far as you said, bowl season goes, I think you're, you know, 8-4, 9-3, same place as you were last year. And me and you both went to New Orleans. That was a really good experience. Not that I want to see them play in the same bowl again, but there are, you know, I don't want them to go play the Magnolia Bowl either in Montgomery. So if it comes down to, you know, New Orleans or Montgomery, I mean, I'm all for run us back to New Orleans for sure. But, you know, I think a similar season to last year as far as what the end of the season is going to look like. And then, you know, this is a team that, like we said, should compete for that conference title spot. Again, it could very easily work out to where you finish the year 9 and, you know, the regular season anyway, 9-3, and then you have to go turn around and play Liberty again, and then you finish 9-4, and you have 2 losses to the same team. I think that's an option also. So it's a whole lot of football to be played before we get any answers, but, you know, we're 22 days as we record this from the season starting. And obviously we'll learn a lot more as the season goes about who's going to compete and who's not. So this is a improved conference there from top to bottom anyway. Like you said, Sam Houston and Middle Tennessee State should be improved from last year, which is going to make this a harder schedule. So, you know, overall excited, and we'll see what happens as we move into football.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. We're seeing that. Here we go. So some of our Conference USA Bowl tie-ins that we might land at. Of course, we have the, you know, you win the conference, you're going to the playoff, and that's a whole other can of worms. But we our affiliated bowls are the Bahamas Bowl, the Frisco Bowl, the Hawaii Bowl, and the New Orleans Bowl. So nice little, but we also have, there's several other that, you know, depending on availability, matchups, geography, all of that, we could also end up in the, it's the 68 Ventures Bowl. It used to be the Dollar General and the Papa John's Bowl in Mobile. It's the 68 Ventures Bowl, the Birmingham Bowl, Boca Raton, Camellia, Cure, Fenway. That would be cool. Gasparilla. Yeah. There's several bowls that we can end up. But if we're going to any of the official affiliated tie bowl games, wouldn't be bad to spend Christmas in Hawaii
or yeah, really.
The Bahamas.
And I'm okay with playing in the Birmingham Bowl under one condition. We have to play Auburn.
Yeah.
If I would play Auburn in the Jacksonville Bowl. We could play at our home stadium and it wouldn't bother me any. I know we've had Auburn scheduled in 2026, but how cool would it be to play Auburn in the Birmingham Bowl? I think that would be really neat. And Auburn, where that program is right now, is familiar with that bowl game. They've been there before. Yep. So, you know.
And got beat.
Yeah, and got beat. So that's the only way I'm cool playing in Birmingham is if we play Auburn. But anyway, we'll wrap it up there. I know we've been rambling on for a really long time on our big preseason episode here, but kind of going forward, we'll obviously have a pregame podcast and a postgame podcast here. You will hear from us a lot more, at least twice a week going forward, and at least once the season starts and that kind of thing. So, yeah, next episode will be Coastal Week, and it'll be really fun there. We'll dive in a lot deeper into Coastal's roster and kind of learn as much as we can without seeing those two teams play any football yet, but we'll give you all the information you guys will need for that one and that kind of thing. Again, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter for those that haven't already at Jack State SOTG, and that's about it. Brooks, you got anything?
Yeah, no. Next time you hear from us, it'll be game week. If you've made it this far listening to us, we appreciate the support, taking your time to listen to two guys talk about Jack State football in the middle of, you know, March, April, May, when not a ton's going on, but we got some really good stuff planned for the season. Like I said, you'll be hearing from us a lot more, going to two episodes a week during the season. And then we're going to try and come up with some more good stuff to get all our followers and listeners involved. So keep an eye out on our X account, Twitter. And of course go throw us a follow if you haven't yet on X, Twitter, as well as wherever you get your podcast from. We're on all the major platforms, Spotify, Apple, Samsung, you know. And while you're at it, give us a 5-star like and a review. Really helps us out. Really helps us grow this thing and show everybody that, you know, everybody that we're affiliated with, that people really care, you know, really care about this thing and helps us grow it. So that's all I got. Anything else? Nope. All right. We'll see you all in game week.